We're thankful this afternoon to have Brother Andrew Mueller visit us. He was in the Medina congregation this morning helping out there, and so instead of passing by, he decided to worship with us this afternoon, so we're thankful for that. Let's support the brother in prayer as he is accepted to serve.
Good afternoon. Before we open the word, let's bow in prayer. Heavenly Father, we're thankful we can gather here together around thy word. We thank thee for the blessing and the freedom of that, Lord. We ask that thou wouldst bless us now, Lord, as we look into thy word, as we seek it for instruction, encouragement, Father, and pray that thou would speak to each one of our hearts. Pray that thy spirit would open up our eyes and our ears, Lord, and our hearts, that we may learn this afternoon, Lord, that we can be blessed as we always are when we read thy word. Pray for those, Lord, who were unable to be here today, Lord, unable to leave their homes or even their beds, perhaps. Father, we ask thou to uplift them and visit them as well. And I just pray now that thy spirit would speak through me, give me the words and the clarity of thoughts to share thy message to the church, Lord. And we pray all these things in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. I'd like to read this afternoon out of 2 Timothy chapter 3. The entire chapter with the Lord's help. 2 Timothy chapter 3. This is one of the letters that the Apostle Paul is writing to Timothy. And beginning with verse 1, he writes, "This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. From such turn away. For of this sort are they which creep into houses and lead captive silly women laden with sins, led away with diverse lusts, ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of truth. Now as Jannes and Jambres withstood Moses, so do these also resist the truth, men of corrupt minds, reprobate concerning the faith. But they shall proceed no further, for their folly shall be manifest unto all men, as theirs also was. But thou hast fully known my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, charity, patience, persecutions, afflictions, which came to me at Antioch, at Iconium, at Lystra, what persecutions I endured, but out of them all the Lord delivered me. Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. But evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them, and that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works." May the Lord add his blessing to the reading. This isn't the typical text we would look at when thinking of being an ambassador for Christ. There are some verses that we'll reference this afternoon, Lord willing, relating to being an ambassador. But there are some parallels I'd like to look at in this text. And first, I want to think about what we see an ambassador as, and even just in our daily lives, we hear the term ambassador now a little more. There's something with the rise of social media that's called a brand ambassador. There's influences, people that are put forth to represent the brand of something. We know that's caused quite a bit of controversy over the past couple months of who companies are picking to represent them. But even before we got into some of this controversial times, you know, sometimes a brand will pick someone that's famously known for something or, you know, that stands behind a brand. And we even, there's something recently, last year, I think it was a soccer player after a World Cup match, I think was sponsored by Coca-Cola or something, and during a press conference moved the Coke to the side and took a drink of water, and it sent the world into a shuffle. And the stock price of Coke dropped that afternoon because why is he doing this? Is it no good? And there's a lot of influence that these ambassadors for these brands can have. And the official, one of the definitions of a brand or of an ambassador, we think a lot of times as well, you know, an ambassador of the United States of America, two different countries, what it might be is an accredited diplomat sent by a country as its official representative to a foreign country. So it's someone that represents, supposed to represent what you stand for. Again, it's for a company, representing what the company stands for, share what a product is about, or in terms of a diplomat, sharing what the country stands for and speaking on behalf of. And it's something to think about as we look at this text, as we think of the scriptures, how we're representing and how we are ambassadors as well. And I'm actually in a program at work. For those of you that don't know, I work at Ohio State University as a campus in Mansfield. And I work with student success, retention of students. And the university purchased a big online software platform that they use to track students, to reach out to students, to try to get them to use different services so they become more successful, so we retain them, so they're coming back next semester and supplying our tuition dollars again. And to launch this new program, they started something called the Ambassador Program for this, and a few of us are chosen from different campuses every year. And it's an intense training that you go through for a year, and there's expectations of what's the point. What is the point of you being an ambassador? It's to represent how the software works for our campus. If there's questions, people will come to me or the other person and ask questions on how to use it. And there's, like I said, a lot of training we go through. We have monthly Zoom meetings with others from the university where we share how it's working, how it's not working, what the struggles are, and we get together twice a year in person to talk about different things, share our understanding. We're given a project. We have accountability of staying on deadlines and tasks. To be an ambassador, to be the expert of this product so that it can be used effectively and be used and implemented on 60,000-plus students across the university. So it's important. It was a big investment that they made, so it's important that they have people who really understand and be the expert and then share to other people. And this is going to help me understand better about being an ambassador for something. And as we look at this text this afternoon in 2 Timothy 3 here, I want us to think about that, how we are ambassadors and how we should and shouldn't be and how it influences those around us. And if we look at the first few verses here, verses 2 through 5, pretty much describes those who would not be considered good ambassadors for Christ and for the gospel. We see that in many of these things, it starts off talking about lovers of them own selves, but a lot of these things all turn back to selfishness. Everything is about myself. Everything's about me. It talks about being proud, disobedient, so wanting to do our own thing, being unthankful, which being thankful takes a level of humility to show that somebody else has done something for us, and we're thankful for that. So being unthankful, high-minded, lover of pleasures more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying the power thereof. So talking a lot about ourselves, and we can't be good ambassadors for anything if we're possessing these characteristics. Because when we look at ambassadors, it's to talk about something else, about someone else. And if everything's about ourselves, we're not going to be describing the product well. We're not going to be teaching others what it's all about because we're too busy focusing on ourselves. So we have to recognize that in being an ambassador, our focus needs to be on what it is we're representing. And of course, for us, that should be Jesus Christ. We read of some similarities of some of these things that are listed here. If we read in Matthew chapter 16, verse 23, Jesus Christ turned to Peter and said, "Get thee behind me, Satan, thou art an offense unto me, for thou savorest not the things that be of God, but those that be of men." When we think about this, what does that mean? And if we kind of ask ourselves, are we savoring the things of God, or are we more focused, concerned about the things of men and the things of this life? Do we take time to dwell on the things of God? Or do we find ourselves in... And here Peter was trying to, in a way, do a good thing. He was, I believe this is the time he was concerned about Christ, pretty much prophesying of his what was going to happen to him, the crucifixion, and Peter had rebuked Christ, but Christ is saying, these are the things of God. As we know, when Christ prayed in the garden, he prayed that God's will would be done, even though he knew the cup that he was about to take would be a terrible physical experience for him. And but he savored the things of his Father, and it's an example to us as well to savor those things. And also, as we read in 2 Timothy 3:5, having this form of godliness but denying the power thereof, it reminds me of in Titus, Paul writes in chapter 1, verse 16, about the Cretans, I believe it was, says, "They profess that they know God, but in works they deny him, being abominable and disobedient, and unto every good work reprobate." So as ambassadors, we can't just profess to know about something, I heard about that, I'm an ambassador. We need to show in our works, show in our actions, show in what we're teaching, what we're standing for, that it all comes back, in this case, in our lives, to Jesus Christ, that we're being a clear ambassador for him and representing him. So in the scriptures, who were good examples of ambassadors? And ultimately, number one was Jesus Christ. He was an ambassador of God, of God's love, of the Father's love, representation, I guess you could say, of himself, of the mission, of the Messiah, and all that he did, right? Of love, of justice, of peace, of a Savior, and all that he did. He always represented that. He was always an ambassador for that and showed the gospel everywhere he went and represented, if we could say, a brand of hope, of faith, of trust. And there's no doubt in that in looking at his life. Who are some other ambassadors? If we look at Exodus chapter 4, we look at Moses and at Aaron. Starting in verse 15. And this was when Moses was kind of doubting the mission he was given and saying, I'm not a very eloquent speaker. And he says, "And thou shalt speak unto him and put words in his mouth, and I will be with thy mouth and with his mouth, and will teach you what ye shall do." This is God speaking. "And he shall be thy spokesman unto the people." So Aaron will be the spokesman unto the people. "And he shall be, even he shall be to thee instead of a mouth, and thou shalt be to him instead of God." So Aaron was almost like an ambassador for Moses' message that he was teaching, that the leading that he was doing. But we look how it describes Moses as being to Aaron as God is to Moses. So Moses is his ambassador, is his representing God to Aaron and to the people, in what he's doing and in the path they were taking. We also think of someone else in the New Testament, John the Baptist, who is paving the way for Christ himself. Read in St. John chapter 1, talking about John the Baptist. "The same came for a witness, to bear witness of that light, that all men might believe. So John the Baptist was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. So he is an ambassador for the light of Jesus Christ, for the Word of God. For Jesus Christ coming, it very clearly states he was not that person, but he was meant to be a close representation and to prepare the way. Just as we're supposed to be reflecting the light. We don't proclaim to be the light. There were times where I believe, you know, some even thought John, proclaimed this is the Messiah or this is the one, or they thought he was Elijah, I think. And, you know, he had to clear that up. But he showed that he was representing Christ and he was preparing the way, as is important for us to do as well. We also think of Paul, which is a clear one, even in what he's writing here to Timothy. And through the Acts of the Apostles, we see all the apostles and disciples that went before the council, stood up against the council, professing Christ. And we can read what Paul writes to the Corinthians. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 20, says, "Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ. As though God did beseech you by us, we pray you in Christ's stead, ye be reconciled to God." And it's interesting, as it talks about ambassadors, when you look different translations, the Amplified usually adds some extra words in parentheses to explain some of these words, and it says, "So we are Christ's ambassadors, God making his appeal, as it were, through us. We, as Christ's personal representatives, beg you for his sake to lay hold on the divine favor now offered you and be reconciled to God." So recognizing as ambassadors that Christ needs to be shining through us and that we are his personal representatives. And what an amazing responsibility we have to be representing Christ always, because we don't want to tarnish a brand. We don't want to, you know, misstep. And as we know happens sometimes, there's questions of, I thought you were a Christian. I'm surprised you said that. Or I'm surprised you went to that event, because based on some of the other things that you've said, I thought that was something you wouldn't be comfortable doing or that you wouldn't support. And those are things that we need to be careful of. So we need to be turning the focus toward God in all things. And even prior to that, verse 20 in 2 Corinthians, if we look at verse 18, it says, "And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation." So Paul's guiding everything, leading everything, pointing it back to God. And then it says in verse 19, "To wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation." So always turning that focus back to God, turning the focus to off of ourselves and onto who it is that we represent. So as we look at the text and back in 2 Timothy, we looked at some verses of what is not representative of a good ambassador. So we have to ask ourselves what is necessary to be a good ambassador. And we see some things that Paul writes in here, almost some tips, some guidance on this. If we jump to verse 10, it's important, as Paul states here, that we need to be prepared to share a testimony with others, to share the information that we know, to represent it well. And we see that Paul did not fall short of doing this and proclaimed how he did this and that it was known. In verse 10 it says, "But thou hast fully known," you all fully know, "my doctrine, my manner of life, my purpose, my faith, my long-suffering, my charity, my patience, my persecutions, my afflictions, which came unto me at these different places here." And how do they all know that? Look at the amount of time that Paul must have taken to write all these letters to the different churches. And that, you know, they heard through word traveling. But Paul spent time being in the synagogues, on the steps outside the synagogue, sharing his testimony. He gave his testimony to the jailer, gave his testimony to the council, to Felix, and Can't think of the other one's name there at the end of Acts, but remember, he kind of got passed from one to the other. And I don't remember if it was Felix or someone else that said, almost you persuaded me to be a Christian. But because he was sharing, constantly sharing his testimony, constantly sharing of the good things that God has done in his life, and constantly representing Jesus Christ and all that he did, all that he said. So he's a good example of ambassadors. And, you know, at this product at work, we have to do a lot of sharing. We have to give workshops. There's videos that are created to share and to spread the word, to show people how to use the program and share our experiences and why we like the platform, what it can do. And same thing with Jesus Christ. We need to share what he's done in our lives, what he can do, and why we love him so much, and share about the love that he has had for us. And we also share with this product at work, sometimes when there's issues, we share struggles that we have. And as brothers and sisters, we need to do this, come together, share our burdens with one another, ask for accountability, ask for help working through a situation, being free to talk to one another and work through it, pray together through it, and have that accountability so that we can be strengthened and be made aware of the resources and create resources, create time of Bible study together and praying together so that we can get through the difficult times. As we see, Paul went through quite a few of those. And to prepare for, as it says in verse 12, to suffer persecution, yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. There's always going to be opposition, even in a simple thing like in this program at work. There's people that don't like the product, that don't want to change, they don't want to use it, they don't want their eyes to be open to how it helps them out. Right? Same thing with Jesus Christ. There's people that aren't going to want to hear it, that are going to give pushback, that don't want to change their ways, don't want to change the life they're living. And, you know, it's important that that we continue to be consistent in our walk, continue to show how it's how a life with Christ benefits us and then how we work to benefit the kingdom of God, and that God always has our back. There's no system that fails in that. God's always there for us. And to be able to teach our kids this, that they even already can be ambassadors for Christ, for what they're learning about in Sunday school, what they're growing as they grow in the Word, to teach them to stand for the truth, to be willing to say no, and to walk away from certain situations that are not good for them, that are not representative of Jesus Christ. Shared this morning, the verse in 1 Corinthians 10:13 talks about there's always a way of escape from when we find ourselves in temptations. We need to teach our kids that they can walk away from that situation. They can always turn and walk away. And also, right, I think maybe I might have even read this verse last time I was here quite a while back, but it comes to me a lot as I've come across it. It really sticks in my mind a lot in 1 Peter 4. You know, being minded like Christ, and because I feel like it really resonates with us, with me, and to be able to teach my children, it says in verse 4, wherein they think it strange that you run not with them to the same excess of riot, speaking evil of you. Other people are going to think that we're strange as ambassadors for Christ, because we may be standing for a brand that they're very unfamiliar with, and maybe they don't like the messaging or whatever it may be. And they might, and they try to make us feel like we're strange, like we're the strange ones. And we need to teach our children that, one, it's not us that are the strange ones, and that we have Christ living in us and empowering us, and that we can, in freedom and in peace, be able to stand for Christ and turn all things back to Christ. And it's going to be hard, and it's going to get harder as we read in verse 13 of 2 Timothy, because it says, but evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. And we're seeing this. It gets worse and worse. Sometimes at the end of the day, we think, we hear something on the news or learn about something new, and we think, this has got to be the bottom of the bottom. Like, it just seems like it couldn't get worse. in society and what people are choosing to do, what they want to do. And then you wake up the next morning and you realize it could have got worse. It did get worse. And the imaginations of the world are, I don't even know what the word to use is, but large, various. And so we need to pray for that and pray that we can be ready to continue to represent Christ and to stand for Jesus Christ. And how do we prepare for that? How do we prepare to be a good ambassador? That's what these last verses of 2 Timothy chapter 3 teach us to do and encourage us to do. We're encouraged to continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. And that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. We need to study and we need to know what is it that we are representing. Who is it that we are representing? We need to know him well. And we need to continue in the things that we learn. And we're encouraged, Paul, in the previous chapter, encourages us in verse 15, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. When you're representing something and you're the spokesperson for it, it's embarrassing to get something wrong. We have another program on campus. They're called Buckeye Ambassadors, and they do they're students that are tour guides for families that are visiting the campus for the first time. And they walk around and talk about each area. And there's often times where they'll introduce me, my name is something it's not, somebody else. Andy's pretty close, but I go by Andrew. But sometimes they'll give me a completely different name, or they'll, as they're representing, saying what our area does and the services we provide, they'll just throw out some information that really has nothing to do with what our area does, or they'll leave a really important thing out. And it's not being a good ambassador. And it's embarrassing to have to go back and to correct that. And it can, again, tarnish what it is we're representing. So we need to get it right. And because this, especially representing Christ, this can change people's lives. It can affect their lives eternally. It will affect their lives eternally. So we need to make sure we're representing, that we're teaching properly and teaching the truth. And as we're encouraged here, the Bible is our instruction book, our manual that we need to study to be ready to prepare. If you've ever had to do a presentation at something, think of how much time we prepare for that. We study for it because everybody's going to be listening to us. And we need to make sure we get the information right. And maybe people are taking notes and quoting you in their research or something, whatever it may be. You need to be right and you need to know what you're presenting and be prepared for that. And that's what Paul's encouraging here in this chapter as he writes to Timothy. We need to recognize as well where at work in this program, I am a part-time ambassador. When I go home, nobody really calls me and asks me about it. And most of you don't know me as an employee of the Ohio State University. You know me as a brother in Christ, a minister from the Mansfield Church, maybe as a father of three children and a husband to a wife. And a lot of you probably like to equate with who my parents are, who my grandparents are, where they came from. This is how often we know each other, right? And because when I leave work, work's not the most important part of my life. It's kind of just something I do. Right, and we have a calling at our workplace, but and we even see sometimes people that we know maybe on their social media profiles, you know, especially if they're higher up in a company. A lot of times it says like this page and these views do not reflect my workplace. These are my personal views, and they have to put a disclaimer on that. And how often do we, which I don't think ever, you know, do we leave this place, for example, a sanctuary? And we go and we talk to someone and say, just so you know, my views do not express the views of the church and of the Bible for the next 4 hours. These are my own personal views. Our personal views need to be God's views. They need to be Jesus Christ representing us. We don't be a part-time ambassador and say, I want people to think that I do this during this time of the day, and then over here I'm doing this during this time of the day. We always need to be representing and being ambassadors and not be concerned about what people will think as we're representing Christ, only that it would hopefully touch their lives and impact them. So we need to make sure, though, that it doesn't appear that way sometimes, right? We would never say out loud, I'm not representing Christ for the next 2 hours. But does it ever come across that way? Do people ever wonder that? And we need to be consistent, full-time ambassadors, as we know we are always being watched by those around us, especially those that do know we're Christians. They're always going to be watching and looking and learning. And our children, for different reasons, are watching, learning, listening to you. How do they see you at home? How do they see you interact with people at work or people in the community or people in the church? In all of our different interactions, we can always be ambassadors for Jesus Christ and the love of Christ and of the Scriptures. So we need to make sure that that's how we are representing. Through our actions, we read in Matthew chapter 5, as people see us and know us, starting in verse 43, Jesus Christ says, "Ye have heard that it has been said, thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thine enemy. But I say unto you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you, that ye may be the children of your Father which is in heaven. For he maketh his sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and sendeth rain on the just and the unjust. For if ye love them which love you, what reward have ye? Do not even the publicans the same? And if ye salute your brethren only, what do ye more than others? Do not even the publicans so? Be therefore perfect, even as your Father which is in heaven is perfect." We need to recognize that we need to love those around us, show the love of Christ, and explain that that's what it is that radiates through us, the love of Christ. As he said here in verse 45, why? That ye may be the children of your Father, that we may represent our Father in heaven, and how important that is. We're also given instruction, as Paul writes in Ephesians chapter 6, as we go out and go forth and speak for Jesus Christ. Verse 19, "And for me that utterance may be given to me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in bonds, that therein I may speak boldly as I ought to speak." That we can speak boldly, confidently, clearly, so that we are representing Christ to others and showing what we are representing. And that there's no doubt in others' minds who we are representing. And in the end, we fully need to represent Christ all the time in all that we do so that others may know him through us. We need to be the messengers for this gospel message, as it talks about us being the oracles of God. And we think about, you know, if there was somebody, if we had some experience, maybe somebody has, I don't know, but if somebody pushed you out of harm's way and they got killed, or somebody, you know, jumped in front of a bullet or something for you, and their life was taken to save yours, would you tell anybody about that? Right? You'd maybe call up the news station, give their, thank their family over and over, maybe set up some sort of a memorial contribution to them, or, you know, people get things named after them for this. And it's talked about to recognize them. That's what Jesus Christ has done for us. He's died for us. And don't we want to share that with others and tell what an amazing person this Jesus is and what he's done for us and what he continues to do for us? And it's just important that we take time to do that, recognize who are we an ambassador for, and reflect on how we're representing Jesus Christ and how often we're representing Christ. And in closing, just something to think about that kind of struck me in thinking about this is, you know, people are often chosen to be representatives of a brand or of a product. We have to ask ourselves, would Christ choose us to represent him? Would he, in our state that we're in now, in our daily walk, our weekly walk, would he say, Andrew, why I see how you're representing me. I want you to continue doing that and talk to more and more people just the way you are, because it represents me well. Would Christ choose us to be his representative? So what can we do? What can we change? How can we improve? What are we willing to give up and to sacrifice to be able to do that better and to make everything in our lives more about him, redirected to him, and to represent him more clearly? May the Lord put this on our hearts as we think about this, and may he add his blessing.